Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another edition of PZ85 Plays. I am your Game Master, Double H, and a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, the Gem of Alderaan prepared to leave the station. Episode 8 of the Star Wars Dawn of Defiance campaign continues tonight for the first time in some time. We'll get to that in just a minute, but first, let's introduce your cast, beginning to my right. To my right, I don't know about you, but to my right, it is the co-owner and creator of Podzilla 1985, playing Harati Tar, it's Mr. Shannon Young.
I just want to say that R. Kelly did get shafted in his trial. He should have gotten more. I think that his sentence was light. But we'll talk. Well, no, we won't talk about that Thursday, Hunter, because Thursday starts Terrifying Tanner Thursday. So we'll talk about it on Friday in what we're officially calling R. Kelly time. We're not going to call it that.
No.
I would rather we didn't.
We're not.
Speaking of the man himself, Tanner Calvert below there, playing our one of our resident Jedi, Sigurd Talon.
Yes, I am. I am that thing that he said.
Okay, that was great. We've also got
this guy ain't funny. Kong
playing our Balthan Iris Nay.
Hello.
Now all I can hear is he ain't funny.
He ain't funny.
Oh, is that funny?
Oh.
Oh, that was for Steven. Finally, joining us as Chris Cog Zubain is the sports himself, Cody Sandusky. I don't know where that came from.
Hey, everybody.
The sports himself. Oh, yeah.
You know how little sports I've watched to be myself in recent months?
Well, they don't have any. Cody, there's still a pandemic going on.
Is there?
If they only did the that Olympics were true. Play. If only they don't care about that.
I heard it was a parabola.
I heard it was a panini. You guys have not heard from us in a couple of weeks, and well, no, I guess it's 2 weeks.
Been 2 weeks.
And there's a good reason for that. So anyway, tonight what you're gonna hear is
move past it.
Legitimately, we were here last week briefly. We had some technical issues. We were going to come back to you the next night. That didn't work out either. And so we're just going to pick it right up and move past it. We're going to continue again tonight. We are in episode 8 of the Dawn of Defiance campaign, the Gem of Alderaan. When we last left off, our crew, the Midnight Coterie, has prepared to board the eponymous train here, the Gem of Alderaan, this repulsor train, which is owned and, well, I don't want to say operated, but owned by an infamous Alderaanian heiress by the name of Lady Aldreet, who has some very important codes for them to make their way to the deep core planet of Praketh. Now, to get that information, they're going to have to go in under disguise as members of the, coterie of Senator Bail Organa. But, of course, going in as themselves, not a great idea, considering they all have death marks on their heads after the previous adventures. And so they crafted some handy little disguises, which you're going to hear all about as we get started tonight. And to that end, I think we're ready to go, right?
Yes.
You guys have anything before we start?
Yes, it's very warm in here. We haven't had the air conditioner on all day because of the leaking unit. So it's about 80 degrees in my house right now, and that's why you can see my shoulders.
Did you? You got a window? I see windows right beside Lindsay. Just crack that bad boy open.
Upstairs, he's downstairs.
I'm in hell.
Plus, oh, that's the true. Windows are gross. I don't want to open them because that means I got to clean them, and I'm not ready to do that yet.
Okay.
Great.
Okay, that was great. That's fair. All right. With that in mind, just a quick rundown, because we didn't do this before we started the show. In terms of force points, we're still on the same day where we ended last time. Everybody has a single destiny point. In terms of force points, Graz is still holding on to his one. Harani has two. Iris has two. Sigurd has three. And Kruzcog has his full suite of four force points. Remember, those refresh every 24 hours, at least, assuming you are taking an extended rest in that time frame. So, excuse me, that's
that
what we got.
That being said, do I need to reenact my fool's luck, or is it still in play since it's the same day?
Does it last for 24 hours? Is that how it's described?
It says for the encounter, and seeing that it was put during a non-battle thing, I don't know how that works.
Oh, she's trying to big time you.
I'm going to treat that as... Yeah, you utilized that, if I remember correctly, to help disguise a weapon, to break down a weapon.
Oh, I used it for all my skill checks, period. So.
Okay, Okay, well then that even makes more sense. That makes it better. So I'm going to count that morning period as that encounter.
Okay,
encounter typically is like a battle. And since most of what we've done up to this point has been very skill-based, skill challenge-based, I would say at this point that has run its course as you are moving on to. You change settings, you change venues.
That's what I was assuming would happen. It's a whole new world. Cool.
Yep.
A whole new world.
Now that's definitely going to be going to
get us sued.
Yeah.
Now you're definitely going to get us sued. We can't do that one.
The mouse is more litigious than Buffer.
I can't make fun of that fucking mouse. Fuck that mouse. Racist ass mouse.
He's talking about the one of mice and men.
I'm talking about Stuart Little and his white privilege. White mouse privilege.
That's why Ratatouille would beat his ass. Ratatouille from the streets.
He beat that ass. No games.
All right. So you guys had gotten your disguises together, hid some weapons, or at least broken them down to prepare to hide the pieces. And had arrived at the launch gala. So basically the train is leaving within, if I remember correctly, we had settled on an hour at this point, and you had arrived at the launch party for this thing. There's this big luxurious banquet hall, which you've pulled up out front of. You can see inside because it's mostly just glass paneling that leads into it. These hand-carved chandeliers from artisans on Naboo, and chandrillon columns holding the place up, a Mon Calamari water sculpture that's held aloft by its own little miniature repulsor fields and flowing a little flowing waterfall. But again, this is not like it looks like the kind of thing you'd see on a really nice resort, a hotel, something like that. But this is a repulsor train station. It's a train station, unlike any other in the galaxy. So at this point in time, the elite from dozens of worlds have gathered for this maiden voyage, the Gem of Alderaan, which, of course, includes you guys. So as I've been mentioning up to this point, we are going to start tonight's episode with the appearance of your characters on the red carpet. Basically, you can narrate this however you want. If you want to get fully into character for it, great. If not, that's fine too. But as your character steps out of the luxury speeder that it would have that they would have arrived in, how would you describe their new identity to the people who would be maybe watching this on the HoloNet? Whoever wants to go first, just jump after it.
All right, that was great.
That's a nobody, okay?
You had a smirk, Shannon. I thought that's where you were going to jump in. I figured you wanted me. No, I can definitely start.
To go first.
I'll go ahead.
Yes, so, Cody.
Sometimes it's like I never even really left.
Oh, man. So Cruz Cog's character, his persona that he will be adopting is Stagra Ekum. He presents himself to be fairly... modest, he's, I think I mentioned it in the previous episodes, probably using many of the items of clothing that would be used by the Organa staff in general, whether it be at the Organa compound or someone who's just a part of the Senate. Not very opulent, seems very simply dressed, sharp, it's pressed, it looks good, it looks professional, but you can see based upon his visage, he's trying to be very demure and very muted. The character, if anyone's familiar listening, I think we talked about it here off air last time, is Charlie Young from The West Wing, played by Dulé Hill. Very kind of, he knows that he belongs in these environments, but he's by no means going to put himself front and center in these things. In The West Wing, Charlie Young starts as the president's body man. So very much kind of to the side, helping out as needed, but very offset. And that's what Stagra is going to present himself to be in this situation. He is someone who finds information and performs the daily dalliances with those who wish to be involved or have the audience of one Bail Organa. He is here to be not necessarily the face of the party, but someone who's going to be around, gather information, facilitate future interactions, and make sure that anything that finds its way across the desk of Bail Organa is on the up and up and reputable as best as possible, especially during these.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you. It sounds like if I had a good word to describe him in terms of his relationship with Bail Organa, this Stagra was basically a good proxy for him. Yes. This is the kind of guy he would send in his place to attend these kind of functions, which is very literally what you guys are doing. You are attending on the orders of Senator Organa and through his invitation. So, all right, very good. Who's next?
Tanner.
Okay. I mean, he did do this.
Exactly.
Throw him up.
Yeah, Tanner, you volunteered.
Okay, so my name, I'm gonna pull my stuff back up here. Where'd it go? I'm so lost. Okay, so
Tex Hooligan!
Tex Hooligan!
No!
Anyway. Tenest High here.
Bless you.
Tenest is a fairly popular surgeon. Trained at the Bellerin Medical Academy on Sadia Prime, which also happens to be his home planet. He comes off kind of eccentric, we'll say. Long blonde hair, put into a braid, wearing a black vest and suit, black pants, but oddly enough, a red velvet coat. Doesn't really match, but he's eccentric, and it kind of goes with his attitude about things. Very talkative, you know. He's there to socialize and maybe push his work out there. See if you know what kind of new customers he could come up with, because this happens to be a high roller ordeal. So.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the kind of character who would very much be noticed by the media. If Steiger gets out first, it's clear that he may be escorting some guests of Organa, and this would be one of the high profile kinds of guests. In terms of surgery, is he more like a plastic surgeon? Is he more performing life saving procedures? Like, what kind of medical doctor are we talking about here?
As far as surgeries goes, he could complete anything. He started out as a general practice surgeon, life-saving techniques, whatnot. Kind of moved his way into the plastic surgery, realizing that's where the money is really at, the credits are. So that's where we're at now.
Yeah, that to me checks out, because if he's high profile and well known as a celebrity type, it's absolutely going to be for the plastic surgery. Now he's hobnobbing with the kind of people who are going to be engaging in that type of medical procedure. So, all right, very good. Who's next?
I'll go next because Lindsay's will be better. So, I'm going to be honest with you. First off the top, I thought this was going to be a lot more clever than it is now that I'm saying it out loud. But both of my characters are going, both Muldrake and Harani. And I know that I only had one ticket, but I have an explanation for that. And their names, and again, I have to warn you, this sounded a lot more clever in my head before I've said it out loud. His name is Mulder and her name is Scully, because I thought it would be funny since I based his character on David Duchovny. I would like to take that back, but at this point I don't know of another name, so we're just going to leave it there.
No, we're in it now. Scully. We're in it. I like it.
We're in the end.
Did you say Scully like with an A instead of a U basically?
Yeah, cuz I wanted to be original.
I'm writing them down. I'm writing them down as I'm going along. That's the only reason I ask.
Well, his first name is
Mulder.
His first name is Faux. It's Mulder. It's F-A-U-X. Mulder.
That's just Faux.
Oh. Mulder.
That's not how you pronounce it. That's not how you pronounce it.
That's not my name. He just hit you with it. That's not my name.
He is a kind of reclusive and quiet director. And Harani did, you know, we talked about how, I remember there was like a skill check where we planted information on the web, basically. Yeah. And that's what she did. She put his name on a lot of movies that may or may not exist, but the universe is so big that no one really knows for sure. So they just assume he is this big time director that he says he is. And she is
his.
Swear
to God, if this guy turns to Derek Savage, I'm going to come through the screen and beat somebody's ass.
Well, he is now, God damn it. Thanks for putting it in my head.
See, I'm thinking more of a, maybe not the kind of movies he makes, but I'm thinking more of a McG. Like, nobody knows what a McG looks like. So he's just Mulder. Nobody knows what a Mulder is.
Well, he does have this fantastic movie. It's a series of independent films called Cool Wookie. And he goes like, "Cool Wookie," and then he gets into different hijinks. Harani is basically, oh, there goes Tanner. Okay.
He can't handle it.
Harani is basically, she's playing the part of his secretary. She is, he's dressed in a nice suit.
It's, She's her his PA.
Pretty much, yeah. She's his publicist. Legitimately, she's his publicist. She's in a nice like business dress, you know, pencil length skirt or whatever. She's got glasses on. She looks very intelligent. She has a clipboard with her that she. Well, it's not a clipboard. It's whatever the future would have. So it's like an iPad, I guess, but not an iPad. And she is using, since she actually does know the entertainment world because she spent so much of her time being a star, she knows how to basically fake all this and talk the lingo and use the right language, drop the right names to make him really seem like this is legit. So they are there scouting out possible talent for their next big budget blockbuster film called Cool Wookie Saves, Talks to the Kids. It stars an up and coming young man named the Soul Taker. And it's going to be a fantastic film, and they're looking for extras.
I have zero regrets about what I've brought Lindsay, on this, but I'm very sorry.
Lindsay, do you want to tell him, or should I, that pencil, when it denotes a skirt, is about width and not length?
Are you serious? Do that,
or? Yeah, it's that it tapers down.
You said pencil length, and I was like, it's the width, not the...
You got pencil minis. Which Harani would totally rock a pencil mini.
It's a pencil mini.
Yeah,
you've made it official.
Oh, you're not gonna be able to see it.
Yeah,
lovely little like fashion reference thing. And yeah, well, no, it's about how it's designed.
It's a pencil mini. Thank you guys for clarifying. And that goes to show you once again that Shannon does not know fashion, especially women's fashion.
All right. Very good. So we've had from Organa's card thus far, we have his body man, basically his second hand. We've also noted a famous plastic surgeon in general, but in particular that way, who of course would be hobnobbing with a famous director and his PA who goes everywhere with him. Naturally, you know, if they bring in somebody that they want to star in their next film or in his next film, I guess I should say,
might have to cut her up.
Maybe they need a little work done before we get started. Yeah, you gotta slice them up a little bit.
Yeah,
Iris, what about you?
Yes, Iris.
So Iris's identity is Yan Siri. She was taken in by a local philanthropist at a young age who was known for bringing in underprivileged youths and giving them the tools and knowledge to be respected citizens within the area as opposed to just being scoundrel scum. And
can you hold on just 1 second, Lindsay? Can you hold on 1 second? Yeah. Yan Siri. I think that is...
We can't see it. There it is.
That's just Iris Nay backwards.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. I'll leave now.
He's a real, he's a real Robert Langdon over there.
Yes. But
also, just out of curiosity, as you continue, the person who brought her in, would his name happen to be Gentry? Like gentrification? Is that who?
No, I did make up a name for him, though.
What is it? I want to know.
David Hunter.
So I just went a random Alderaan name generator. But
yeah.
He was Odin... Odir Taj, he unfortunately passed away a couple years ago, and one of his last acts was getting Iris her job with the senator.
Iris?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
And hush, yawn. Shut up. Don't make me laugh in the middle of my trains of thought, darn you.
Can I just make one suggestion? Can I just one suggestion, then I'll leave it alone?
Yeah.
What was his name? Odin...
On Deer Taj. O-N-D-I-R.
Instead of instead of On Deer Taj, could it be Oh Hi Mark?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh Hi Mark. Sure, just to amuse nice doggy. You. That's it entirely. Much like Cody's character, she is an information gatherer, but mostly she is on the fact-checking end of stuff, so she does a lot of... stay in the office and double check everyone's work. So for her in this case, this is a reward for doing a good job. So she's just here to go to the party as far as that goes. So as far as her look, she is basically dressed like what you would think Senate-wise, a little on the like higher end of stuff, but not too like over the top. Stuff is still just like colored, like basic, no pattern stuff that way. But her getup is kind of a asymmetrical kimono type look, which for those of you that have the video, I drew a picture.
Wow.
Hey,
those of you that don't, cool. Sorry.
Did you draw a picture for
that'll
everybody?
Be a picture for tonight's show.
There you go.
And she's got her hair like up in like braids and swirls and stuff, like So, like, Star Wars universe, just think of all the various way Padme did her hair. Just up crazy ways and stuff that way.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about her, however, is there is a rumor out about this specific aide that supposedly she is lucky. But the reason she is lucky is that bad luck seems to flow to her. This girl is so clumsy and unlucky that she just attracts all of the bad luck in the area, thus making those around her have better luck.
Yeah.
And that being said, as she gets out of the transport, she trips and falls right on her face in the red carpet.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally. It's a, and like you hear the like gasps from around because everyone else is just kind of slowly moving down, being applauded and like people cheering for him, and then she just eats it right there. She is then immediately like lifted up and placed back in place by the person following her. Groznik, this boy ain't, because he don't look like it. This is the cleanest, sharpest Wookiee you have ever seen. Wearing a monocle in one eye, his fur is all like steamed and slicked back in place. He's got a little top coat on. He still has a bandolier underneath it, but he's got a top coat on. It looks like it's maybe like a remnant of the old war days. This is Professor Lysander Hackintosh, a well-known Wookiee scholar from Kashyyyk, of course, and he is a professor at one of their top universities. I would love to tell you the name of it, but you couldn't pronounce it, and neither can I. nor could you pronounce any of the stuff that he could tell you about, unless you happen to be a Wookiee. You know, there are plenty that understand them through various forms of basic, but speaking it back is very difficult. So, this particular Professor Lysander, he's very commonly... Oh, that looks cool. Sorry, I got distracted. I'm looking at Iris' thing. That's awesome.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. He lifts her back up and he gives a very... It's so clear to you guys that he's been coached. Because rather than the typical being very loud and like pressing the buttons on his vocoder and stuff, he just gives a... and then just continues on about his way. It's like a pigeon coo, almost. Very reserved, very, very stoic. He stands up straight and is the picture of maturity, the exact opposite of what you would anticipate from the guy that you guys know. All right. Very good. This is exciting. So we got a whole new crew here, basically, in terms of the public eye. As you guys are making your way into, or at least toward, the reception, you can see through the sort of who's who line here that you're coming up on security. Obviously, there is going to be a security screening. Now, you know well enough that having dropped your personalities, your new identities, onto the holonet and successfully planting them there, you're very unlikely to have any issues when it comes to that. However, remind me quickly, which ones of you are smuggling contraband? One, two, three.
I got my lightsaber in pieces.
Literally, yes. Kruskog's the only one who came in. Not
well, and Groz, or not Groz. I'm sorry, Professor Hackintosh has a very nice, like jewel topped cane. Closer inspection would reveal it to not exactly be the most high end expensive jewel. But he's got, you know, one that he doesn't even really lean on it. It's more of a walking stick kind of thing. Like he just has it in hand. That's going to pass through with no difficulty. Nobody's going to give that thing a second look. But the other three of you will indeed, even though, of course, you have broken your weapons down into smaller pieces and are keeping them together. I'm assuming, just out of curiosity, before we go any further, where are you keeping these things? Because each one of you has a blaster, a lightsaber, right? That's what we're looking at?
Yeah.
So where are you keeping those pieces on you?
My outfit has a little pouch, like kind of mini purse bag thing. And the longer kimono sleeve also has some interior pockets sewn into it.
Noted.
Scally, I'd really like to change that name at this point. She has a briefcase and it's filled with a top secret script that no one is allowed to see.
Yes.
And she has the parts in there. And if anyone tries to look in that, she freaks out.
Happened to bring to the party.
Well, they're going to show it to the potential leading lady as soon as Tanner's character enhances her. On the trains.
Enhanced.
What about Tenest?
His coat has many pockets, some of them kind of hidden, because the good doctor does not like empty pockets.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Why do you wink at you?
This is a guy who's always got like a little thing. He's got a something here, you know. Is there a doctor? Of course I am. Here's a little thing that will fix whatever ails you at the moment. Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. All right. So those identities in play, the checkpoint itself, you can see once you get closer, is run by a single supervisor. Like, there's a single Imperial officer there, and then just a single, like, you know, officer of the railway system, and then four security screeners who are running what look like, you know, metal detectors. You got to step through a thing, they wave the wands. It's very traditional type stuff. Two of them are operating a single stationary weapon scanner, which is something that you'll have to basically make your way through, and then the others have their wands. So your identity's in place. It's routine attention. They're not paying any particular attention to you. You have all the proper paperwork, the ID cards, all those sorts of things to make your way through. But if you are bringing weaponry in, you have one of two choices. You can either try to keep it concealed, make your way through and keep it on your person, or you can attempt to plant those items onto one of the screeners and then retrieve them on the opposite side. The choice is yours of how you'd like to go about that, but I will need answers depending on who's in line first, and given that we went through the order the way that we did, it looks like it's going to be Tenest who's going to have to make that choice first.
I'm going to try to... Keep it concealed. I should also note that with other jewelry he might be wearing, he is wearing a nice necklace with a beautiful gem inside of it.
Yes. Okay. So if you're going to try to keep your items on you and make it through the checkpoint, smuggling through there, that will require a deception check, for the record.
Check what that is, because we might change your mind. That's an 8. I'll try it. Oh,
okay.
There's no way I could bump that up, is there?
Not out of the gate, yeah. No. I mean, you could always use a force point in the aftermath, but...
Yeah. 27.
Yeah, you'll just make a basic deception check.
27.
Hey, that's pretty good. Yeah. you, for whatever reason, and maybe it's just because it's just working for you, but Sigurd slips into this role of this doctor very easily. This deception doesn't generally come so easily to you as a Jedi, but this is really working for you. You kind of fall into this role pretty easily. In fact, there are people there who seem to recognize who you are, even though this guy didn't exist more than 24 hours ago. So making your way through the screening, given that, especially after Kruskog, or Stagra in this case, you're the first one to go through, like butter. You just slide right on through there, no problems, no issues, they wave the wands, they do the thing, and you are free and clear on the other side. Okay. Then that would bring us then to Scally next, and her partner, Mulder.
I really like to change
he that. He doesn't have anything though, right? It's her?
Yeah. He's just there for the...
Okay.
He's just there. She's also going to try deception just to sneak in through it. Like I said, it's in her briefcase. She's very adamant about no one looking inside of it, so...
Yeah, they're not going to take it from you. I can tell you, without giving you the actual DC of the check, that these guys, because you have complete identities after they check all your papers and your ID records and stuff, they're taking 10 on their checks. Basically, they're doing the average number of the check that they could get here. So,
no. But it's a deception roll, right?
Yep.
All right. Here goes nothing, guys. $35
Yeah, no, that's extremely solid. Hirani is, of course, much more comfortable slipping into other roles of people, especially when it comes to deceiving
just an actress.
Others. And so, yeah, there's no question given to it. As a matter of fact, she makes a little small talk with the guys as you move through, and they don't even really bother waving the wands. Once you get through the basic stationary screener, you're good to go. Jan... You're next.
Sit route and try and plant my stuff.
Okay, so planting your items onto a screener is going to require a stealth check instead of a deception check. Basically, as you make your way up to the stationary one, you once again stumble fall, basically get through it pretty much in the clear, but you land almost directly on top of one of the guys with the wand, and that gives you an opportunity to try to slip something into his pocket.
Let's see if I can have as good luck as these two. Oh, nat 20.
That's pretty lucky.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll do it. As a matter of fact, even though, again, you can't auto succeed on that, what I am going to give you as a bonus for that is not only are you able to plant it on this guy, but basically you kind of push him to the side of the stationary screener so he ends up behind it. And they're like, oh, hang on, you got to go back. You got to go back. So you back up, get yourself composed, back together, go through the stationary screener. Of course, there's nothing on you now for them to check. And on the other side, you're just so grateful that they would, you know, do these things for you that basically you pull him into a nice little hug and just pop that stuff back out of there. I'm not even going to make you make a secondary check to get it back. So yeah, you guys are all clearly on the other side of the security screening with whatever items you chose to bring in with you. And with that, you guys are left to mill about the reception. Your invitations and your IDs link you to Senator Organa's office, and so you don't have to worry about any of that. No one's questioning who you are. You're in the clear. But now you've joined the gala, and there are, at this point, well over 100 people who are milling about enjoying the sort of early festivities before you make your way onto the train itself. This is mostly conversation. There's not a lot of, like, drinks or snacks or anything like that. Most of that is coming up in the near future. It's been made clear that once you get aboard the train, there will be lots to eat and enjoy. But for now, the goal is basically going to be to blend into this reception and make a good first impression. So here's the way that we're going to handle this. Over the course of this reception, I will tell you guys that you need to have a series of successful social interactions with the people in the area. Now remember, you guys wrote it down, you have an awful lot of information about these people. Somebody wrote it down anyway, about some of the major guests who were there. And so if you want to seek somebody out in particular, you're welcome to do that. But in general, what I'm looking for you to do is describe the way that you want to interact with the guests. In doing so, I will then give you some checks. I'll give you, you know, what skill you need to check to do this. I will also tell you that each of you will at least need to succeed, or at least attempt, two major social interactions with the other guests. That's Groz included. He'll have to do two as well. And then the group must do at least two group interactions. Okay, so we can do this in whatever order that you want to. But basically, we're trying to keep all of these interactions as pleasant as possible.
Lindsay.
So, that in mind.
Siri. Wasn't there a... hey, Siri. should have seen that one coming.
Oh no, I did. That was part of why I thought it was funny.
Wasn't there a some kind of socialite actress or something like that here? Remind me.
Yes.
Who is that?
There is a human actress, Ardia? Is that what it is? Yep. I can't read my own handwriting.
Ardia Terrasson.
Yes. She's also a gambler. She likes sabacc.
Yep. Savvy businesswoman, taste for sabacc.
So we are going to seek her out first off and kind of talk turkey with her, you know, about the next motion picture. Cool Wookiee fights the space coronavirus. It's a fantastic movie. It's going to be really good. And and in the same, you know, Harani is also going to be kind of maybe using some sabacc lingo, because she's also very good at sabacc. If you guys remember, go back and check the previous episode when she won tournament and won lot of money. So yeah, we're gonna talk movies and that kind of stuff with her.
Okay, I'm gonna treat that as an informed opinion. So that's the particular social interaction you're having here. I will need from you a knowledge check. Your knowledge is just kind of general, right? You got the educated skill thing.
Yeah, and I think I have...
you don't have any specific knowledges, right? It's just the general...
Yeah, I've just got a +9 to it because of that whatever. Yeah.
Yep. So you will be making a knowledge check for this one then. Basically, you are... applying expert knowledge to a discussion. So you've done your homework about what this person does for a living, and you're upholding this side of your new disguise.
You know, just a quick question. Am I an idiot? Do I get a bonus to that knowledge check, or is it just that I can make the knowledge check?
You can just make it. Knowledge is one of those skills that you cannot utilize untrained. But you have the educated skill, which means you can basically make any knowledge check untrained.
So without a penalty, right? Basically.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you get whatever your natural bonus would be to it, which is 9.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Yep.
The 13.
Ooh.
What was that? What's that force point that I've got? Can we use that?
You have a force point. It'll let you roll 2d6s, and you get to pick the higher of the two.
Yeah, let's do that, because I don't trust this.
Okay, that'll bring you down to 1 for the day.
I feel like I didn't do that right.
No, you didn't.
All right, I'm just going to roll it twice, because I'm not smart. Oh, yeah. No, well, that's what it was. Yeah, I figured it out now. I figured it out now. Jesus.
So the higher the 2 is a 5, that gives you an 18 total. That's enough for you. Kind of stumble through the initial part of this conversation. You start to reference a movie that she actually has not been in.
Well, that's because Mulder started talking. She very quickly tells him to be quiet and just look pretty.
Oh, that's an interesting dynamic, given that he's supposedly the he's the director.
She didn't say that out loud. She kind of whispered it to him. This was not her. She was not emasculating him in front of everybody. She just kind of, as he's stumbling through his words, she just kind of whispered in his ear, "Let me do the talking," and then she takes over.
Yeah, so you guys, like you said, begin to talk shop. You're welcome to describe that however you want, but it is a success ultimately.
He begins by talking about films that he really doesn't know movies, because he is such a dedicated Imperial officer that he's trying his best and he's failing miserably. You can see on her face that she does not understand anything he's talking about. So, Harani takes over and, mentions a movie that she was in, and then they kind of talk from there about the projects. So it gets better.
Yeah, totally. All right.
He gets by on his looks.
Down. Who's next? Who would like to try another social interaction? I should mention at this point, by the way, up to now it seemed as though there was no like refreshment of any kind, because it'd been mentioned that there would be some things on the train. The sea has kind of parted of people, and you can see that there is actually a bar on the other end of this area. There is sort of an open bar there, so if you want to engage in refreshments or utilize that to your advantage, it is now available to you. A couple of robotic or droid-like bartenders have taken their place there.
I think I'll go next.
Okay.
I'd like to approach, kind of slowly approach, not making it look like I'm going for this person, but the, how you pronounce it, Zalar Rishik?
The spoiled rich boy.
Yes.
Yeah, the rich kid, sure.
Yeah, just, you know, privileged
douchebag, as kinda, I have written down for him.
I kind of want to hear what he's talking about. See if there's anything I can kind of jump into conversation with him.
Okay.
He may like the women, and augmentations that women get. Maybe this could strike up a conversation.
Sure. So I'm going to use this as the attentive listener application of a perception check. Basically, you're carefully observing the conversation. You're actively listening to his conversation and looking for a place where you can jump in, peer understanding. You pick up on important details of things that they're talking about. So make me a perception check.
I can do that.
Twenty-six. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, within a couple of minutes or so, you hear him sort of discussing his latest conquest. And lo and behold, it happens to be a name that you vaguely recognize from when Hirani was entering all the information about your identities. Of course, she made up a client list for you. That had to be done. We had to give you some credentials. And so one of those names pops up, and you happen to just remember the surgery that supposedly she had done, popped up in all the rags, naturally, the next day. And so Tenest is able to sort of slip into that conversation saying something to the effect of, oh, yeah, you liked that, did you? And the conversation continues from there. The two of you strike up a little bit of a discussion about the latest in your field of work. We'll leave it at that. All right, who's next?
I'll go. Seeing that between me and Hirani, I'm a little bit more dressed for the party rather than work, I'm going to hunt down the Twi'lek fashion designer, Lina, however we want to say it, and kind of fangirl just a little bit to get her talking.
Okay. I like this. Let's go with, what application do I want to do for this? Let's utilize... Oh, we're going to call this a witty banter check. So basically, you're engaging her in a topic of discussion about the things that you like, but you're approaching her, whereas Hirani is very much talking shop, you're approaching her as, like you said, a fan, trying to curry her favor to your side. So as opposed to knowledge, this is going to be a persuasion check on your end here, convincing her that you are indeed a huge fan.
And with that, I'm also going to spend a force point to enact my fool's luck to give me a +5 on my skill check.
Okay, so that'll bring you down to 1 as well. Noted.
And persuasion. 24.
Yeah, that's a good one. She buys it immediately. As a matter of fact, while this is probably not the kind of thing that she gets on a regular basis, being, you know, a fashion designer and not a movie star or something like that, it's clear that she's relatively used to this kind of attention in certain areas, especially this kind of space. She's racking up client numbers left and right at this thing. And so, as a matter of fact, it's kind of nice to talk to somebody who knows the business and is a fan of her and not necessarily looking for something. So, yeah, you're welcome to bend her ear for any period of time. Who's next?
Krushkog, or excuse me, same as it were, Stagra, is going to go. Typically, he was actually thinking about going to Lina to talk about maybe being a charitable person, what she would like to maybe coordinate with the Organa office in terms of maybe upcoming events or something of special note. But seeing that Iris is going to move that way, he is going to then turn on his heel and make his way toward the Alderaanian Sedna Fennel. Being someone who's a lifetime lover of dance and being someone in the Organa office, probably try to portray himself to be likewise at least interested in the arts. You know, as... being this a time of rebellion, maybe not the biggest focus, but of course, being a senator, there are also probably local laying levels of influence that he needs to have on things like education and the arts and those things that make people feel good. And so that is what Sure. Stan is going to do, is go find his way to Sedna and perhaps talk to her a bit about a potential initiative in supporting the arts on Alderaan.
Okay, great. So we're going to treat this as... this is going to be, it's not so much innuendo as it is a combination of that and the kind of informed opinion skill. I'm going to have you make a gather information check for this. You're getting a little info out of her, but you're also sharing some informed opinions about these things. Basically, you two are talking about, without openly talking about what your offices do, you're discussing ways that you can build a partnership. So, yeah, it'll be a gather information check for this.
Okay, let's give it a try. 26.
Good answer.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, good answer.
Good answer.
Good answer, yeah. No, that's good. She picks up on what you're putting down immediately. This comes naturally to Kruskog slash Stagra at this point, having actually done some of this kind of work, especially for Horghanna himself. It is it's second nature to slip into this role of what can we say without actually saying it, and what can we get accomplished by working together. So yeah, she buys into this disguise immediately. Professor Hackintosh has noted the open bar.
Oh no!
No,
and
no,
he's looking at all of you. There is a drip of sweat running down his monocle, but he keeps kind of nodding, like, "No, let me. I got this. Let me." He's just looking over at it. I got this. Let me do it. Okay, so the professor, the great professor, makes his way into a crowd of alien life forms. Like, there's a lot of non-humanoids crowd around this area because they have a fully stocked bar, even just at the station here, with lots of different alcohols and drinks and spirits from all over the galaxy. He's going to blend in that way. And so I'm going to use another round application of an endurance check. And this is why he wants to do this, because your boy has a plus 16 to endurance. So he can hold his drinks. Let's see if he can manage to do that tonight. I just realized I don't even have my dice open. I should probably do that.
This reminds me of...
I would think from the size of a Wookiee alone that they could hold a lot of alcohol.
There you go.
This is just that scene from Almost Heroes where Chris Farley's drinking the Spaniard down.
Yeah. Pretty much. That or the beginning of, or close to the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's just Marion just going hard. Not only that, but he rolled a nat 20, which again, skill check, but still. Yeah. The professor is not just good at drinking. He's becoming infamous very quickly for his capability to other alien life forms under the table. You can see there's like a burp rising up in his chest, and he actually manages to cover his mouth when he does so. So he's holding up the persona. Yeah, he's doing a good job of holding it up, but at the same time, he is basically no longer found without a drink in his hand. He's not chugging them. He's doing a good job of not sipping, but taking his time with it. But yeah, he's drinking people under the table left and right over at this open bar. That is 5 straight successes in a row. Well done.
See, Shannon, people. Now that you've mentioned you've invoked Almost Heroes, I'm thinking of us teaching Hackintosh over here how to be a proper person, and it's teaching him the alphabet.
Lowercase.
Learning for the day.
This is the lowercase A.
For the record, you still need 2 successful group interactions. So whoever wants to take the lead there, you guys just let me know and we'll make that work.
What if we all kind of hover over to Gra? I'm sorry, Professor of IMAC. Oh, yeah. And join him for a drink and kind of tow and her and well, not Harani, but Harani would tell Mulder, I'm sorry, to kind of make a toast to everyone there for this wonderful trip and all the magic they're going to have and the adventures they'll have and the love they'll find in the Bible.
Let's have him in that case make that's going to go back to persuasion. I'm going to have him make a persuasion check, basically trying to get other people to join in on this toast that's being made.
If he's the one making the persuasion check, how difficult would it be for Harani to take the lead and say, he's a man of few words, but legally I can speak for him? Because I don't actually know what his persuasion is. Let's take a look.
Why don't you just make it based on her skills? Then
actually, never mind. I forgot. He is a linguist, and he is very persuasive as well. He has a 16 in persuasion. So yeah, let him take the lead. Screw it.
Hey, there you go. Perfect. I'm here for it.
They'll screw this up, or you'll go back to to FX. They weren't actually on FX. That's a 28.
Yeah, that's respectable. Solid. That'll do it. there's at this point, more and more humanoid at least, but also some human party guests have started making their way toward the bar. It's not quite crowded with all just the alien life forms. And so, yeah, they're taking notice of this, and the tankards are raised, and the glasses are up, the brandy glasses and all that. People are into it. You guys are making a name for yourselves, but in a good way. Drawing attention, but not necessarily, it's not bad attention by any stretch. And as best you can tell, nobody seems to know who you are actually. So we need one more success before you board the train and leave. What do you think would be your best course of action for this?
But if, see, this how much would it cost to buy a round of drinks for?
It's an open bar.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't have to worry about that with this crew, I'm sure. The two to go out of game, we've got the Imperial Governor and the Land Speeder exec left in sub. In terms of viable known options, I would lean Din Sub because I don't know if we want to be parading around an Imperial. The thing that Stagra is going to present as he maybe mingles and passes by a couple of these characters is who best to interact with a Land Speeder exec. Iris is likely not one of them, if only because her current character doesn't seem like one that would hobnob with someone in industry. Dinsub's pragmatic, so would he go the way of a plastic surgeon?
Or we go the distraction route, and I, in the process of trying to trip, like, we make it so a waiter gets tripped, and I push him out of the way in the process of me falling or something stupid. So then it seems like, oh, I just missed this happening, this poor person.
It's Always Sunny. It's them tying the shoelaces of the poor waiter at the restaurant. Yeah.
See, Hunter, I feel like
you're starting to think Wagino's is going downhill. this place.
I feel like.
I'm sorry, what am I doing?
I'm sitting here, and part of me wants to drag Hackintosh into a conversation with a pragmatic Land Speeder executive.
Just to see that fur get wetter as he fucking sweats. As he's trying to. He starts to look like a mop after you've like soaked it in water for a while, and he's.
I will tell you, anything that's going to require him to have like an extended conversation with someone is going to probably fall into a knowledge skill. He has no knowledge skills. The boy is not. He's so strong.
He was hired.
Going on up here.
He was elected to lead, not to read.
Not to read. That's right.
I'm going to grab, the goal is to grab Mulder and Scully and bring that crew over to Dinsub and see if we can have a conversation under the guise of these individuals are working on, of course, future projects, trying to gain some insights, you being a wise man of business.
I have an idea. Product placement.
There,
everybody wants Fords and Chevys in their movies, right? Of course, they want the latest Sorosub Land Speeders. Yes. And the next big project.
And they call it the Homer.
Now, see, I thought it was the Canyonero.
Oh, Canyonero. Yeah!
Yeah!
Come on, Canyonero! Hey, Tanner, do you know who sang that song in The Simpsons? Hank Williams Jr. Bo-cephus.
True.
Bo-cephus.
True, and it should... And it should be said. Okay, so if you guys are going to have this conversation, this will be another... Normally, I would note that it is galactic lore, but in Hirani / Scally's case, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Oh, well, that's up to you. If that's what you want to do that, then you're welcome to do it.
Yeah. It's just however this needs to play. I just wanted to note if that was something that came to play, apparently.
What's your bonus?
I had, plus 13. Because I'm trained.
Yeah, it sounds like you ought to maybe make that, considering all of hers are going to be plus 9.
Yep. All right, so let's give it a try.
So basically, what I'm going to treat this is you are doing the introducing. They can have the conversation afterward. You're doing the introducing of, it's almost trivia that, hey, you run this company, and you make these movies, and those things work really well together. So put the peanut butter with the jelly. What'd you roll? I'm sorry.
17. I'll go ahead and roll a force point.
Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah, I should.
Well, okay, real quick. At this point in the conversations, you have a couple options since you have multiple successes. You can either utilize a force point, or you can make a deception check and play basically the what I meant to say card. Whichever one you want to attempt. But I will tell you, if you fail the deception check, there's no going back.
Right, and that's why I would rather just...
Of course, if you fail the force point, there's no going back either.
True, but of the two, I'd rather gamble on the force point.
Noted. Roll it up.
2d8. 7. So I put it as a 24.
Yeah, that's much better. Yep, you're good to go. There's a little stumble in the initial conversation. You actually start to introduce Scally and not Mulder, and then realize, oh crap, backwards, and kind of, you know, mention that this is his personal assistant, and then also this infamous director, and you facilitate that conversation. All right. 7 successes in a row. Well done, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm so scared.
What that means...
Right?
What that means for you at this moment is that the, taken as a whole, the reception is a resounding success for the members of the Coterie. You have made positive and lasting impressions on basically the entire group. The whole group attitude, which I won't give you specifically, but has improved in general. Not only are you noted among them, but in a good way. These are people who are going to gravitate toward you rather than avoiding you now. So, yeah. Well done for those things. The reception starts drawing to a close at this point. It's been approximately 30 to 45 minutes, and it's known that the train is going to be leaving soon, and you've actually heard some sort of murmurs through the crowd of, where is Lady Aldreet? Where is Alia? After a little sort of mic check from a wireless headset, an MC who very clearly eventually identifies themselves, a Twi'lek, for the record, steps up, gives a very brief introduction. There's really not much in the way of pleasantries, because at this point, you all know who she is, everyone knows who she is, and there's not a lot of media left to do much in this particular area. Lady Aldreet walks out. You've seen the image that I sent you guys once before, but I will quickly pull that back up again just in case you have forgotten. I'll take a quick screenshot so you can see what you're working with here and who this person is.
It's like boom, Star Wars boom. Barbie, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm dropping her into the text.
Yeah, there. Star Wars Barbie.
See, you say her. Star Wars Barbie, I was kind of picturing Star Wars Princess Daphne from Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, no, that too.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate as well. So the MC gives her a brief introduction, and Lady Aldreet walks out in this pretty revealing dress, the kind of thing you would not expect on a noblewoman. But again, she's fairly young as well. She makes her way to the lectern that's set up there, leans on it with one hand, and now you can see that in the other hand, she has like a snifter of brandy. And this thing is pretty hefty. Not only is it fairly large, it's pretty full, too. It looks like it may have been recently refilled. And she says, okay, everyone. She's slurring a little bit. She says, I know a lot of you. And a lot of you are here because you know my grandpa. And a few of you are here for the free drinks. And she starts giggling really loud. There's some very awkward forced laughter from the guests. Before it dies down, she continues on and says, either way, thanks for coming out to the launch. You guys are going to be the first to see all the great stuff that Grandpa put in. There's bars in every one of these cars. And she's pointing up and down the track at the repulsors. She says, there's a nightclub in the back. Those were my ideas. I got bouncers and everything to keep all the riffraff out. Or keep the best riffraff in. And she starts giggling again. She raises her glass, takes a drink, and then just sort of she just kind of drifts away. She just drifted away.
For the record,
she's drunk, but why is she Trump?
For the record, Harani looks over at Iris and just does this. Not a fan.
See, Cam, you have a question?
I'm trying to just not laugh the entire time. Okay.
It looked like Tanner had his hand up, and I was like, yeah, Tanner, go.
It's been a weird day.
No, see, I'm just picturing... Good.
He's got scabies.
Like, your impersonation was starting to border toward Jenna Bush in Robot Chicken Star Wars. She's on that
show. So yeah, like I said, she winks, she raises up her... the wink, for the record, is like one of these things.
like she doesn't know how.
Lindsay
raises up the glass, and then she just kind of drifts away.
Lindsay, she's not a porn star anymore. It's Brecky.
The finest.
And you can too.
As she leaves, I mean, there is some applause, you know, and it picks up after a minute because everyone's like, oh, well, we're kind of here for this. So,
yeah, it does.
The applause kicks out. And so guests begin filing onto the train. You can see that she's hurried on board by the staff. Basically, they bypass the line and they get her on their force first ahead of everyone on where the hell force came from. Too much Star Wars. So you guys are kind of moved through the cattle call onto the train, and you are pretty much initially given some time to kind of wander about and explore. There are a grand total of 5 major cars, and I can either just list them or you guys can make your way through them. Whatever you want to do, I will describe it to you. You want me to just go down the list in order, or what do you want to, how do you want to handle this?
Making my way downtown. Oh, okay, never mind.
I mean, train. It makes sense to just go through them in order because you can't.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
The train is like horizontal.
I mean, for the
you
record,
still have to go through
the
one
train
to get to another train.
You guys are, there's kind of like tour guides, for lack of a better term, just placed sparsely throughout the group. Information guides, basically. They're the kinds of people that are giving info. You can see reporters like writing stuff down and getting footage of this, but you can kind of pick up from what they're talking about what all you have to work with. So you enter into the lounge car, which is actually the second car. The first one's a control car. That's where the crew is there to operate the train for safety reasons. Of course, it is sealed off from passengers. And this is a fairly short train. The train's actually a lot shorter than it would be during regular service, since this is just going to be a few hours long. It's an invitation-only event. There's not that many people there. So you got the control car, you have entered the lounge car. It has all around windows that provide a really awesome panoramic view of anywhere that you are at that time. There, it's broken down into like a couple of semi-private areas for kind of small gatherings. They have a pretty extensive library in this car, a really nice fine selection of spirits, just like you saw out in the reception area. They even have, in some spaces, atmospheric bubbles. So if, like, you take over a particular booth or area, you can enact these atmospheric bubbles to kind of match your comfort, temperature-wise and such. It also is there to keep the spice scent either out or in, depending on which partaking you are doing. or lack thereof, for lack of a better term. Eventually, you'll move from the lounge car into the third car, which is the dining car. It seats dozens. It's got a split-level dining area with smaller two-person tables for couples, some larger booths for 4 to 6 persons, and then it has one large, or 4 to 6 person parties is what I was getting at, and then it has one large banquet table for large gatherings. You can hold approximately 20 there if it's fully extended and filled up. Underneath the upper level, that's where the kitchens are. There's a fully automated kitchen there, state-of-the-art luxury auto chefs. They take up way less room and are far more efficient than that kind of kitchen would normally require. There's also on the top level yet another bar, stocked to the brim, of course, and another of those really nice Mon Calamari water sculptures. It's a little smaller, less ornate than the one at the reception because, of course, it moves around regularly. Moving out of the dining car, you move into the fourth, the penultimate car. It's the casino car. I would suggest to Ronnie, this one probably gets your attention. Mm-hmm. 4 Sabacc tables, 3 Savarin whist dealers. There's 2 Jubilee wheel tables as well. And then 2 large banks of credit game machines that are up on the trailing balcony that goes around. In addition, the casino has a stage for various entertainment stage performances. 2 bars, one of them on each level. And then a heavily armored cashier's area that dominates one side of the car. It is extremely secured at any point in time. And then finally, as Lady Aldrete alluded to, the final car is her personal nightclub, which noted in neon above it is called Decadence, because of course it is. It is kept very dark. It's already sort of up and running, though there are no guests, so it's kind of that awkward liminal space of it's a nightclub with nobody there.
It's a Shakers on Friday night.
There's pulsing. Yeah. there's... kept dark almost completely, except for there's like pulsing strobe lights. There are some very dim table lamps. The dance floor itself is actually vibrating from the pounding beat of the music that's kicking through there at any given time. The lower level, as you guessed, has a bar, several booths, a big dance floor, a main stage, and then 2 smaller stages that have like a floor to ceiling pole, of course. The stage is being raised up on those. The upper level has a few more small tables, booths, one single sabacc table so you can do some additional gambling there, yet another bar, and then a small manager suite that looks out over the dance floor. Now, this is the only one that has somebody at the entrance. Of course, the bouncer is ordered at this point in time to turn aside. The bouncer, for the record, being a fairly large and fairly muscled oh my gosh, the name just escaped me. Kruskog, what's your race? Zabrak. Zabrak. Jeez, I don't know why I couldn't think of it. I was thinking Zubane, and I'm like, that's his last name. That ain't it. he's been ordered to stand aside at this point in time, but it's made clear that generally he does not allow anyone to just wander into the area when he likes. And with that, with the basic tour out of the way, the train is preparing to leave the station. Everyone is asked to make their way back toward the lounge car as they do so, just so they can have everyone secured in a particular area. You feel the lock of the maglifts, or the maglocks disengaging, and within a moment, the train is off and running, and in that panoramic view, you can see this gorgeous scene of Alderaan. It's later in the evening now, so the sun is starting to set. It is a beautiful, just breathtaking view over a large area of the city, and the night is just preparing to begin. And that is where we're going to cut it off tonight.
That's a good ending, though. That's a good ending.
Right there.
It is. It very is.
Yeah. All right, guys, as always, thank you so much for joining us this week as we continue our Star Wars Dawn of Defiance adventures. If you are just, I didn't even mention this at the top of the show, if you're just tuning in, this was probably very, very confusing for you, and I apologize for that. You should definitely go back on Podzilla1985.com or our Facebook page and catch up on the previous episodes of the show. You can also catch all of our other shows at both of those locations as well, including a really great episode of I Want to Believe for the first time in 2 months that we did last night. That would be all of us sans Cody. So go back and check that out. We had a lot of fun stuff. Shannon keeps looking at me like you can't do it because I didn't upload it yet.
Okay, so there's a reason. The reason being that we have a particular intro song that we do, and it's on a particular... Oh, yeah. It's on a particular hard drive that a particular person has and was asleep, or so I thought, and I didn't want to wake her up to get it. So,
but it is on Facebook though, right? I mean, you can go back and watch the live stream.
It is on Facebook. You can go watch live stream for sure. And then it will be up tonight. So that means that this episode will probably air tomorrow morning. That way to give it a little bit of space in between episodes. But yeah. So they'll both be up by then.
Oh, that's cool. You can go back and check it out there. And then we got a lot of other good stuff coming up this week. You want to tell the folks all about it?
Yeah, tomorrow is, or today, if you're listening to this later on Spotify or iTunes, or the Podzilla1985.com, we've got an all-new Pro Wrestling Unscripted, where Ace and Dalton are going to recap Extreme Rules and talk about Dynamite from last week and all the big news in professional wrestling. Thursday, Tanner, we start the very first episode of Terrifying Tanner Thursdays. It's back. We're going to be revealing our, each of us have five things to watch in October. Yes, you do, Lindsay.
No, I do not.
You both will. I'll coach you both.
I have three.
Lindsay, I can think of
three.
Lindsay, I can think of one right now, and I'm shocked you didn't already have it.
Hunter's going to roll up with five episodes of the Real Ghostbusters. I've been
preparing for the convention. Lindsay, it concerns a frog. Green frog.
Watched it yet? Am I allowed to pick something I haven't watched yet?
As long as it airs in October, you can pick it. So if it's coming out in October, it is up for grabs.
I'm claiming that then.
Well, I'm going to give it to you.
Cody made the bit about five episodes of something. He has clearly not heard last night's show yet, where I actually did say that, only it's going to be five episodes of the show Midnight Mass on Netflix, which, for the record, we finished today, and I can now officially confirm might be better than Haunting of Hill House. I'm not kidding.
So I'm just curious.
It is
legitimately
incredibly impactful.
If Haunting of Hill House is here and Bly Manor is here, and I'm not saying Bly Manor is terrible, it's just like, if this is the range, where do you put it?
Yeah. If it's not exactly on par with Haunting of Hill House, it's like a tiny bit above.
Why?
Well, I'm dead serious. It's that good. Here's the thing. You have to go into it knowing nothing about it. So don't look anything up. Don't read any articles about it. Because I went into it knowing literally nothing. And that really was super impactful for it. That helped me a lot with it.
Okay.
As is expected by Mike Flanagan projects, I was crying by the end of it because it was, it's not just horror. It's also that really nice finds dramatic a way. Stuff. Yeah. I told you yesterday, he does a really good job in this show in particular of these conversations with characters. I could listen to these characters talk to each other for hours on end. It's so good. I don't want to say any more right now because I'm going to have to
tell me one thing. Tell me one thing. I know that Henry Thomas is in it, but do they have any other actors from the previous two shows?
I can think of. I don't think anybody from those was in the previous. If they were, I don't remember it. I'll go look here in a minute while we're running down the rest of this stuff and just see if anybody crosses over. But okay. I don't think anybody else carried over. I'm going to do that now while you talk about the remaining shows.
Well, that's Thursday. Terrifying Tanner Thursday. Back on Thursday, we're giving you 30 things to watch in October. 31, because I'll throw in an extra just to, you know, for the entire month. And then Friday, of course, it is, we're deciding if it's Nightmare time or Plague Pony time. We'll put up a poll. You guys can decide.
Plague Pony.
Okay, well, with me... finishing the new My Little Pony, I'm like, yes, Nightmare. But I'm the one who said Plague Pony. So.
We're going to put the poll up on our Facebook page. You get to decide if it's Plague Pony or Nightmare. We're going to do that. And then we do it all again next week.
That's right. Shannon, for the record, I am an idiot. Kate Siegel was very obviously in Haunting of Hill House, and she plays a major role in this one. So that's okay. The first one really that comes to mind.
I want the guy
over, just glancing over the cast though.
I want the
no, he's I, not.
It's, you know what I'm talking about?
Not,
yeah. I was obsessed with him in Bly Manor. Yeah, he was the best.
That was in Bly Manor. Yeah, it's not. Well, I say that I'm looking at this now, and I know this is not the time for this, but Zach Guilford, is that not him?
No.
No, Zach Guilford he's from Illinois. He's from Evanston, Illinois.
This guy's from Anglin or something.
I'm pretty sure he's from around Anglin.
Yeah.
Around those parts.
All right.
Next week, guys, we are coming back to you again on a Tuesday. We'll do all of the shows, of course, but next Tuesday we're back for PZ85 Plays for the next installment of Episode 8, The Gem of Alderaan, and the Star Wars Dawn of Defiance campaign. But until then,
I know.
Catch us up here. Yes.
I know what it is. I know it because this is October. The train is—it's going to turn into like a Death Troopers type scenario, and there's going to be zombies on the train, and we're going to have to fight them off. I know it.
I hit you with zombies already. You didn't do very well with them, so why would I do that again?
What about werewookies?
Let's get real. That was the most horrible like fight you guys have faced this entire time.
It's true.
It was bad. I thought I was going to kill some people.
Yeah, we got wrecked.
It was rough.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Who knows? Next week, next Tuesday, 8 o'clock, The Gem of Alderaan continues. Until then, for Shannon, for Lindsay, for Tanner, and for Cody, I am your Game Master Double H. May the Force be with you. We'll see you next Tuesday. Later.